We will start with a little housekeeping. You can virtually raise your hand to be recognized using the raise hand button found on the participant tab. This is also where you can change how your name is presented. We encourage you to be aware of how you are presenting yourself online. These Zoom meetings are essentially open to the public. Note that you can click the video stop and start button to toggle your camera on and off. We will be recording and publishing only the audio portion of this meeting to the simpleactions.net website. During tonight's meeting, you will be able to send chat messages to the hosts only. That will be myself, David, Leanne, Amy, BJ, and Candida. Finally, I will post a link in the chat pod now for giving to the seventh tradition, in observance of the seventh tradition, and we'll mention this again later. For those who care to join, let's open the meeting with a moment of silence, followed by the serenity prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. All right, the Simple Actions Group wishes to extend a warm welcome to all in attendance today. Newcomers, is there anyone in their first 30 days of sobriety? We would like to welcome you. If you need numbers or help connecting, send a chat to one of the hosts and we can help you with that. Any newcomers with us tonight? I'm not seeing any. If anybody else is, please speak up. I will read the preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contribution. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their... The format of this meeting is an open big book step study. As a group, we recognize the power of one alcoholic identifying with another alcoholic, sharing their experience, strength, and hope from the book Alcoholics Anonymous. We encourage you to engage in conversation after questions after the meeting pertaining to the step discussed tonight. Tonight, we'll be discussing step 11. Please welcome our panel this evening, which will be Candida, formerly of Simple Actions, and our own Amy Kay, currently of Simple Actions, soon to be the alternate secretary and GSR. I will read the first paragraph. Let me go ahead and put that on the screen, and then each member of the panel will share for a couple minutes on their experience. And 1 second, let me get that share screen going. Step 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. First section, page 85, step 11 suggests prayer and meditation. We shouldn't be shy on this matter of prayer. Better men than we are using it constantly. It works if we have the proper attitude and work at it. It would be easy to be vague about this matter, yet we believe we can make some definite and valuable suggestions. When we retire at night, we constructively review our day. Were we resentful, selfish, dishonest, or afraid? Do we owe an apology? Have we kept something to ourselves which should be discussed with another person at once? Were we kind and loving toward all? What could we have done better? Were we thinking of ourselves most of the time? Or were we thinking of what we could do for others, of what we could pack into the stream of life? But we must be careful not to drift into worry, remorse, or morbid reflection, for that would diminish our usefulness to others. After making our review, we ask God's forgiveness and inquire what corrective measures should be taken. And Amy or Candida, who would like to go first?
Candida, you go.
Okay. I'm an alcoholic. My name is Candida. I'm so grateful to be here. I love to see all your beautiful faces. I miss you guys. You know, I just like to kind of like backtrack a little. You know, growing up, I grew up in a lot of religious environments. You know, I was exposed to Catholicism, Baptist church, you know, and I don't know at what age it happened, but I became very defiant and very rebellious against the whole religious thing, you know, because I heard one thing, like gay people, like gay was bad. And then my whole mind slammed shut to everything. And it was funny, I was dating this girl one time and she said, oh, I just have to turn that over to God. And I'm like, how did you learn that? She's like, oh, I learned that from, you know, Catholic school. And I'm like, I never heard that. I never got that message, you know? And when I came to AA, I was so beaten down by alcohol that when I came into the rooms, I really thought it was a born again Christian movement. But I was so, you know, I was so beaten down that I was willing to like do whatever. It was like, okay, if this is what it is, I'm in, you know? And thank God it really, you know, AA is not a born again Christian movement. You know, I've never had anyone like force an idea of God down my throat, thank God. But, you know, I was so beaten down, I was willing to be open. And what's cool is that as working the steps and becoming more open to the idea of God and, you know, spiritual ideas and stuff like that, I started to see that I missed a lot of the good of those religious people, you know, in that Baptist church. Like we didn't have any money growing up, and that church paid for entire like summer school visits for me and my brothers. You know, they provided, you know, we were poor, and, you know, they paid for everything. And I just missed it. And in the big book, it says, you know, we miss, you know, the forest for a few ugly trees. And, you know, the first thing when I came to this program, my sponsor, she had me write a letter to God every single morning. And sometimes I would be very disciplined about doing that. And then I would like skip a few days, and I would call her really crazy. And she'd like, did you write your letter to God today? And I was like, no. She'd be like, go write your letter and call me back. And she'd just hang up the phone on me. And, you know, I'd go and I'd write that letter to God, and the problem would go away. And, you know, writing that letter to God, it was a way of practicing, you know, step 11, like, you know, trying to like, you know, improve that conscious contact with my higher power. When I got sober, the way I was, I felt like I'd wake up in the morning feeling like an elephant was sitting on my chest. Mm-hmm. And like this feeling of like doom, like today was the day where everything was going to fall apart, and they're just going to know, and everything is going to just crumble. And by doing that letter day by day, you know, letter by letter, I would start waking up and hearing the birds and like having positive thoughts. And it wasn't that like doom. And she, you know, she said something very important to me. She said, you know, Candida, if you're in a relationship with someone, and if you just roll out of bed every morning and run off to work and you don't stop and talk to your partner, are you going to have a good relationship? And I'm like, no. And she's like, well, it's the same thing with God. You know, if you don't take that time out to like build that relationship, the relationship is strong. And I would say that one of the greatest things that Alcoholics Anonymous has given me is that relationship with God. And, you know, I went from, you know, I remember a sponsor at one time told me I was on step two, and they said, you know, you're going to stay on this step for a long time, because with your mouth, you're saying, oh, God is love, this and that. But in my subconscious mind, it was like I was going to get struck down by lightning at the next corner, you know, like I still had that punishing God with. And over time and with experience, you know, somebody said, the one thing I love that I've heard in AA is like, for her, faith was hope with a track record. You know, so when I look back at all my experiences, like I have faith, I'm like, things have worked out, you know, God has showed up, like beautiful things that I never thought could have happened have happened. So, you know, through time and experience, like I've built this like wonderful relationship with God. And I'll say, you know, lately, I haven't been so good about that waking up and like spending that time in the morning, but I suffer for it, you know, like all the magic, all the joy, all the recovery, you know, all the bliss that I'm looking for comes from that relationship with God. And when I remember that and I include God, like things just work out better. Even simple as stupid as like when I go to the gym, I'm like, God, you know, come to the gym and work out with me. I have a better workout. You know, I remember in the beginning they said, help is a prayer. Like that's and I remember in the beginning I would say help a lot. And like, you know, an hour would pass and my mind would be in a different place. So, you know, I have to remember that, you know, these things are very important. And when I apply them to my life goes really well. Thank you.
Thanks, Ken. Amy?
I'm an alcoholic. My name is Amy. And it's a little bit hard to talk about step 11 without talking about step 10 first. There's that saying that if I go to the ocean with a thimble, I only walk away with a thimble full of water. And so what I want to do is I want to go to the ocean with an empty vessel. And the way that I get to step 11 with an empty vessel is by practicing step 10, is by recalibrating my vision for the day to God's vision for the day as I'm walking it out. And I've asked a bunch of people, why is before retiring? Why does that come before upon awakening? And I've always been told that it's because my next day gets set up the night before. You know, I want to do this spiritual hygiene. Step 11, really, this nightly review really shows me how well I practice step 10 during the way. During the day, there's a line in the 12 and 12 that says that there's a direct linkage between self-examination, prayer, and meditation. And for me, that recalibrating during the day in step 10 gets me to step 11. And so I am looking for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. And I've been told that when I'm doing this nightly review, that I never get to answer no in two sections. And one is, was I selfish, dishonest, resentful, and afraid? And the other is there anything I could have done better? Because the truth is, I wake up every day with untreated alcoholism. I have a stay of execution. That daily reprieve is contingent upon me maintaining my condition. And I actually looked up the word maintenance, and it says to ensure maximum efficiency, keeping property or equipment in optimal condition, making repairs and correcting problems, functional checks, servicing, repairing, and replacing. So that's, if I'm a vessel of God, if I'm a channel of God's light, I've got to be doing this work during the day. So maintenance is not kind of just I have to do this stuff so that I'll stay sober. This is no, I want to live out in that fourth dimension. And the only way for me to do that is by maintaining, is by doing this work. Because if I get to step 11 and I haven't done any of step 10, I just hear static. You know, I'm up in my control room. I'm with my vision for me. I'm in the world according to Amy. And my basic selfishness is I have a script, and my basic resentment is you're not making my life any easier. And that's your job. You're supposed to do things that make my life easier. If I'm inconvenienced in any way, my basic dishonesty is if things don't go my way, something's wrong. If life isn't easy, if I'm not comfortable, something's wrong. And so for me to come out of that mindset that something's wrong with the world because you're not doing what I want you to do, I've got to be doing step 10 through the day, and I've got to do this nightly review at night. I've had lots of step 11 nightly review practices in the past. You know, I've had like the worksheets that I fill out, and, you know, I'll do it for a while. I now work in an 11-step train, and I get a new partner every 2 weeks, and we make a date, and we call every night, and we go through the deal. We do the questions, and I'm not telling you I'm doing it because I'm so great. I'm telling you because I'm pretty slack, and I don't know that I would do it otherwise, but I'm not going to screw over another person, right? I'll screw over me and screw over the rest of y'all because I'm messed up. You know, I'm just walking around, but I won't do it to another person. I do show up every single night for another person. And it's not because I'm going to help them. I'm really just being a loving witness. I'm really just being God's hands and feet. And that reminds me of what I'm supposed to be doing all of the time. I'm supposed to be pausing, praying, pivoting. I'm supposed to be turning. You know, it's not just my will and my life that I'm turning over. My soul is actually turning in the direction of the light. Because left to my own devices, I'm in the darkness. You know, the world is a disappointing place, and all the people in it are kind of harsh, and everyone's against me, and nobody wants to help me. And I'll take all of y'all's inventory long before I'll take mine. And so this first piece, this first direction in step 11 forces me to keep taking a look at myself, because I don't want to look at me. I mean, I hear crazy coming out of your mouth all of the time, but I rarely hear it coming out of my mouth unless I'm in these spiritual practices, unless I'm using this toolkit. And this toolkit is based on what is my step one. Candida was talking about religious beliefs and spiritual, you know, stuff. And although I like to say that I'm a complex person, I'm really not. I'm just a person that likes to complicate things. And the truth of the matter for me right now is that my step one is lack of power is my dilemma. I have to get access to power with a capital P. I have to plug in. I'm a battery that cannot hold a charge. And the other part of it is that my ideas did not work. The God idea does. So it's as simple as that. My way doesn't work. Not only does my way hurt me, it hurts other people. So I am willing to engage. I am willing to pick up this spiritual toolkit that you all have given me. You all have given me resources. All of this is about getting to God. The heartbeat of my alcoholism is, what about me? What about me? What about me? But the heartbeat of my recovery is get to God, get to God, get to God. That's all I have on that. Thanks.
Thank you, Amy. Thank you too, Candida. All right, I'm going to go ahead and put up the next section and read that. Section 2, page 86. On awakening, let us think about the 24 hours ahead. We consider our plans for the day. Before we begin, we ask God to direct our thinking, especially asking that it be divorced from self self-pity, dishonest, or self-seeking motive. Under these conditions, we can employ our mental faculties with assurance, for after all, God gave us brains to use. Our thought life will be placed on a much higher plane when our thinking is cleared of wrong motives. In thinking about our day, we may face indecision. We may not be able to determine which course to take. Here we ask God for inspiration, an intuitive thought, or a decision. We relax and take it easy. We don't struggle. We are often surprised how the right answers come after we have tried this for a while. What used to be the hunch or occasional inspiration gradually becomes a working part of the mind. Being still inexperienced and having just made conscious contact with God, it is not probable that we are going to be inspired at all times. We might pay for this presumption in all sorts of absurd actions and ideas. Nevertheless, we find that our thinking will, as time passes, be more and more on the plane of inspiration. We come to rely upon it. Candida?
Thank you, Amy. That was great. I'm an alcoholic. My name is Candida. So, you know, a couple of things that I was thinking about, you know, when I first got into this program, my idea of the future, like my idea of bliss was to retire on the beach with a six pack of beer or be on a mountaintop by myself, just away from people. And the first thing my sponsor drilled in my head is like, you know, Candida, you know, you're always going to need people. And that's one of the things that this program like really taught me is like, I'm always going to like, that idea of isolation on a mountaintop is not a good idea, that I'm going to need people. And one of the beautiful things that happened on one of my first spiritual awakenings, I was at a meeting and I was like, if you never come to a 12-step program before or known how all this works, you know, it's kind of like weird. And I remember sitting in a meeting and thinking in my head, like, how does this shit work? And as I said that, a woman in the meeting said, I come here to hear God speak through all of you. And, you know, that reading where it says, you know, like I need other people, like I need to hear God through other people. Like I need to pass things through my sponsor. I need to talk to other people in the program. Like I can have an idea, but I need to run some of those thoughts by other people. And I really liked it in that paragraph. It kind of reminds us of that. The other thing too is, you know, when I first got to this program, you know, one of the they say sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly, but they always materialize if you work for them. I think one of the first gifts I got from AA was this like pause button. Like I was such a reaction person. Like if you said stupid, I was punching you in the face. Like there was no pause in my, like what I thought and the way I reacted. And coming to AA, starting to work the steps, I started to get like a pause button. And, you know, that's such a gift. And, you know, that upon awakening, you know, I remember my sponsor would have me read that every morning because I was such an obsessive person. And, you know, when I would read that, those obsessions would kind of like go away. And then when I would get lazy, stop reading that, it was like the obsessions would creep back in. And in that language says, God divorced my thinking from self-pity, dishonest. She had me add in another word to that, self-destructive mode. And, you know, where it says about, you know, being careful with excitement, like, I'm like, isn't excitement good? Like, aren't we supposed to get excited? And it's like, you know, I have to like, you know, that excitement is like, you know, sometimes it's dangerous. So the other thing I just want to go back to the paragraph before, like something I wanted to add to that. At the end where it says, you know, we ask what corrective measures we could take the next day. And there's a speaker, I think it's Chuck C, who talks about at night, you know, he would go to his like closet and talk to his father and say like, you know, this is what I did today. And he just leave it there. And, you know, I like that. Like, you know, in the 12 and 12, in the 10th step, it talks about, we don't look at things with favor or foe, you know, because my mind, I'm either super grandiose, like I'm the best person in the whole wide world, or I'm the biggest piece of shit at the bottom of the pile. So it's like, you know, in the fourth step, it says, you know, it's a fact-finding, fact-facing. It's very simple. Like I'm just jotting things out, like, you know, not getting attached to it with like a, you know, I'm the worst person or the best person. It's just what it is. And just leave it there, you know, let God take it, not carry that bat. So that's something that I just thought of reading that last sentence. Thank you.
Thanks, Candy. Amy?
Here also, I need to employ fellowship. I would like to tell you that I am a person that prays frequently. I would like to tell you that I'm a person that pauses frequently. The truth is, I am very addicted to my vision of myself as the master of the universe. I think that it's the greatest thing about me. And by saying that, I mean, it's one of the worst things about me, that I am very quick-witted. I know exactly what I'm doing all the time. And yeah, it gets me into trouble on a regular basis, on a daily basis. Today, I'm sure I've been in trouble at least 10 times today because I'm talking fast. I'm moving fast. I got it all figured out. I'm a country mile ahead of everyone else. And so I have the privilege in the morning. I schedule meetings with my sponsor or my sponsees or people who are in my God squad. and we'll pray together, and we'll start the day together. And I'll talk about my goals for the day. And my goals for the day used to be world domination, but now my goals for the day are, how can I treat others the way I want to be treated? And I have some specific questions that I ask myself, places that I get in trouble all of the time. One of the places I get in trouble all the time is at work with my boss. And my desire to be the boss universal, surprisingly, it steps on his toes on a regular basis and he retaliates. And yeah, you've got to have, I don't know, you've got to have your loins girded to walk in here. Since I've worked here, there have been at least a dozen people who fled the building and fled their employment here in tears. And, you know, I think we're having a good time. You know, I'm a little bloodthirsty. I'm a little bloody minded. And that kind of gets my juices flowing. I'm the kind of person that, yeah, I've got guns blazing all the time. I come in hot. And I always thought that this was a great thing about me. And it turns out it's not so great. Not so great at all. Because when I move really quickly, I'm in my will. And there was a time in my recovering career when I thought that working the steps was supposed to make me feel better. And I recognize now that that's about my will. The truth is I work the steps so that I can do better. And that's God's will for me. So when I look out over the 24 hours ahead, I'm asking myself those questions. Am I kind and loving, respectful and attentive with my boss? Another one of my hot spots is I'm a shopper. I get a little tense if I can't, you know, eat a pizza or find a really bad man. What I'm going to do is I'm going to buy out Amazon.com. So that's another one of the questions that I ask myself and that I commit to for the day. I'm going to be financially responsible today. I'm 54 years old. I really should have a savings account at this time in my life. But those things aren't possible for me. It is in the realm of the humanly impossible for me. And so I get back to step one is present here. Lack of power is my dilemma. And so I need to keep turning. I need to keep pausing. I need to keep praying. I need to keep pivoting. And so I start the day with someone or someones. And during the course of the day, as I'm doing 10th steps or as I'm just reaching out and touching my fellows, because I very quickly, my ego rebuilds and, I go from, I'm begging for help. I'm crying. I'm really screwing up to, I got this. Like I can feel my shoulders are going back while I'm telling you that I got this. And I'm about to get into really big trouble. And so I pause and pray, or I take a picture of where my feet are to remind myself, I am where my feet are. And I also will go out into nature, which I've never been a nature lover. Really, to me, a 4-star hotel is nature. That's the worst it's ever going to be for me, is not being in a 5-star hotel. But now I regularly go out into nature, into the creative whole. I have clothes that get dirty. I don't know if I've ever had dirty clothes in my entire life. But I get out there and it reminds me that I am small. And God is big. And I need to be reminded that I am small. I don't want to live large and in charge. I want my God to be big enough to completely dwarf the large and in charge person who's living up in my head. And this step 11 practice of starting the day, of asking in prayer, listening in meditation, for strength and guidance greater than my own. Because without that, I am doomed to be a mouthy know-it-all that no one except me finds amusing. And I don't want to live out my days like that. Thank you. That's it.
Thank you. Thank you both. I will share the next section and read that. Section number 3, page 87. We usually conclude the period of meditation with a prayer that we be shown all through the day what our next step is to be, that we be given whatever we need to take care of such problem. We ask especially for freedom from self-will and are careful to make no requests for ourselves only. We may ask for ourselves, however, if others will be helped. We are careful never to pray for our own selfish end. Many of us have wasted a lot of time doing that and it doesn't work. You can easily see why. Candida?
guilty as charged. You know, it's funny, this year, me and my sponsor, we started going through the steps again, and we were working on step two. And, you know, I saw some things in step two that I really hadn't seen before, about like having that Santa Claus God, you know. And I can honestly say that I think a lot of my resentments, a lot of my, you know, having to come back and work the steps had to do with that thinking, like, I ask, I should receive, and why am I not getting what I want? And, you know, kind of like getting over that, like, you know, I've had some pretty big challenges the last 2 years, and kind of like made me a little bit sour toward God. And, you know, the truth is, where it says, you know, only praying for God's will, not my will, the truth of the matter is God always has a better plan for my life than I do. And even though I'm scared, you know, like, I think I'm not going to get what I want, I have to keep on putting my best foot forward so that I can get what I want, the truth is, at the end of the day, God has a better plan for my life than I do. And if I, you know, for me to let go of stuff and let, you know, God take the reins, like, that's not easy. You know, it's not easy. But I do deep down in my heart believe that, you know, I'm going to say it again, that God has a better plan for my life than I do. And, you know, the things that I hold on to, which are usually finances and romances, I'm always hitting the same wall, like over and over. And that's me running the show. And then the things that I've truly given to God, like my recovery, you know, other things, like, they just work out perfectly. They work out so good. So, you know, I like that. Like, you know, I said it with the first reading, you know, just inviting God into all my activities, even when it's stupid, as I come to the gym with me, you know, like, come into work with me. You know, I remember when I first became a nurse, I was working in the neonatal ICU. And, you know, I was always a person that I'm very organized. I had my tasks, like, I get this done, like, I'm going to get all this done by, you know, normal jobs, you can do that. Working in a neonatal intensive care, you know, you just have to roll with the punches, you know? And I remember getting to that front door of that hospital, and my prayer started becoming like, God, just help me to handle whatever comes my way today. You know, and I started getting through the days a lot better. Instead of me trying, like, I'm going to go in and take charge and get this accomplished and get that accomplished, it's like, just help me to handle whatever comes my way today. You know, and when I remember to come into work and say, you know, God, help me to be useful here today. Help me to help other people. And, you know, when I take that attitude with me, things just work out better. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Candida. Amy?
The 12 and 12 talks about how restraint has to be a top order of business. I am not particularly restrained in any area whatsoever. And up until a couple of years ago, I would have told you that and been quite proud of the fact that I'm not repressed. The rest of y'all might be repressed, but I'm not. I'm fully expressing myself. And that's a good thing about me. The truth is that I have hurt a lot of people with my brand of honesty, with brutal honesty instead of rigorous honesty. And I play God when I'm saying should. I'm playing God when I'm looking at you and thinking that anything at all should be any different. I'm playing God when I'm looking at me and thinking that anything at all should be different. God made me flawed as heck so that I would need him. There is no me being okay without God. There is no you being okay around me without God. And today I am less concerned with imposing my will on you, although I certainly default to it regularly. When we were joking earlier about, you know, you're going to have to be the alternate secretary. You're going to have to be the intergroup rep. You're going to have to be the thing. And I was thinking, I should just be in charge of the world. Why isn't anybody saying that? Because we all know that's how it should be. I actually still believe my own hype. I really do, until I stumble and fall, or somebody's crying, or somebody never wants to talk to me again. And you may be surprised to hear this, although I bet you're not. There are people who never want to talk to me again. There are. And I don't want to live that way. Me being right, or me trying to make myself right and make you be wrong, or me be superior and you be inferior. My ego, the job of my ego is to separate me from you. And separation feels like crap. It doesn't feel like superiority. It feels like isolation. It feels like out on the edge of the universe, you know, I'm not just alone. I'm forlorn. I'm about to fall off into space. It's cold, it's dark, and no one's coming after me because nobody cares. because I'm what I am. And this is the place where I turn myself over to God, where I announce over and over again that I'm willing to become a stranger to myself, that I'm willing to not be what I think I am, that I'm willing for my life not to turn out the way that I thought it was supposed to. For me to admit that, I don't know what any of it is. I don't know what any of it means. And that the greatest height I'm ever going to attain is that of being a servant, because that's really the only antidote for self. The only effective antidote for self for me is turning to someone else. I've been taught that once I do my 10th step, once I make my review, when I'm turning to those to whom I can be of help, that I don't bring up any of my stuff, that I don't get on the phone and say, oh, I just had the ugliest 10th step. Oh, I've gotten myself into so much trouble. No, I pick up the phone. And what I do different is, what's going on with you? How's your day going? And I can't tell you that I do that very well, because I love talking about me. I am freaking fascinated with me. I read books to learn more about me. But that doesn't get me anywhere. That doesn't give me a happy life. It doesn't make you love me more. It makes you mildly irritated, or more so. So the point here is for me to get to God, to continue to clear away what blocks me from God. And what blocks me from God is everything I think I know. Everything I think I know about who I am, about who you are, about who God is. All of these old ideas that life is supposed to be easy, that I'm supposed to be comfortable, that things aren't supposed to be a freaking inconvenience, that there's something wrong if I am being inconvenienced, that if something doesn't seem right to me, that I have to take action. And not only do I have to take action, I got to do it fast. I got to do it fast. I got to do it hard. I got to get ahead of this. I'm always trying to get ahead of it. And what I'm getting ahead of is God's perfect will for me. So I get in the way and it takes a whole lot longer to unfold around me. I'm forcing things to unfold and I haven't even gotten all the information yet. That's all I have on that. Thanks.
Thank you, Amy. All right, I will put up the next section. Section 4, page 87. If circumstances warrant, we ask our wives or friends to join us in the morning meditation. If we belong to a religious denomination which requires a definite morning devotion, we attend to that also. If not members of religious bodies, we sometimes select and memorize a few set prayers which emphasize the principles we have been discussing. There are many helpful books also. Suggestions about these may be obtained from one's priest, minister, or rabbi. Be quick to see where religious people are right. Make use of what they offer. And I'll go ahead and do section 5 as well. Actually, we'll hold off on that one. All right, Candida?
You know, I love that. You know, there in the book, it's encouraging us, you know, like enlarge your spiritual life, you know, go to other books, you know, learn about other religions. Like none of those things are, you know, wrong. But it's funny, I remember somebody saying this and I never forget this. Everything in addition to AA, everything in addition to AA, but nothing instead of AA. Because if those religious groups or those spiritual things could have got me, so like the Artist's Way could have got me sober, or the Course in Miracles could have got me sober, I would have gotten sober. And those things didn't work. You know, therapy didn't work. Going to church didn't work. Doing rituals on the moon didn't work. And I did try that. We did try that. A moon ritual. It didn't work. But, you know, coming to AA did work. And, you know, I do engage in other spiritual practices. Like right now I'm doing the Course in Miracles. And, you know, it was a kind of a lot what Amy was saying. You know, like I bring, you know, just kind of letting go of that past and not bringing my past to my present. Like giving people a clean slate, you know. Like I create the world that I see, you know, with all these past attachments. And, you know, so, you know, I think anything to enlarge your spiritual life is amazing. One of the greatest gifts that AA has given me is giving me a gift of an open mind. Like I can go into a synagogue and listen to the message and hear, you know, the parts that, you know, I don't take AA, take what you like and leave the rest. I don't believe you should do that with AA, but I do believe you can do that when you go into a Catholic church, or when you go into a synagogue or into a Buddhist or a Hindu, or, you know, like take what you like and leave the rest. And you know what, there is a lot that I can take. So, you know, I love that part that it just gives me permission to like, just explore. And, you know, one of the most profound spiritual experiences of my life was when I was 3 years sober. you know, I was seeking, and I got into this like Sufi path, and, you know, I had a very like white light thunderbolt God experience. And, you know, many years later, I went back to that same church and nothing happened. And what I realized, it wasn't the church. It was the way I was seeking, you know. I think that, you know, that seeking is so important, and, you know, God really does meet us there. So, you know, I never want to stop seeking. Thank you.
Thanks, Amy.
I am not a joiner. The only thing that I've ever joined and stuck with in my whole life is Alcoholics Anonymous. I don't know. I have a, you know, anti-authority, anti-establishment personality. So I'm not interested in being a member of a church group. And I have to say that I indulge my need for pointing a finger at people and calling them hypocrites too often. But what I do know is that when I come out from behind my stack of books, because I got a stack of books, I got stacks of books all over the house on every religion, every philosophy, every spiritual modality, because I need to look like an expert. I don't even know that I need to be one. I just want you to think I'm one. But when I get out from behind the books and the words, what's left is that when I love God's kids, I'm loving God. When I am putting your needs before my own, or when I am watching you blossom like a flower, you know, that the fellowship we crave will grow up around us. That is some magical stuff. That is miraculous. I see things just like I see crazy in you. I see miracles in you. And I recognize the possibility for me. I know that there's hope for me. I know people in this Zoom room who are not who they were when I met them. I hope I'm not who I was when you met me. But I get access to God through other people. And in very small things. This, I'm sure you've probably heard this before, but I have these old cats, and they are fat and they are grumpy, and no one could love my cats but me. I don't care. Nobody could love them but me. They pee everywhere. They poop everywhere. They vomit everywhere. They are very expensive because they eat medicated food. But I'll tell you what, I love those cats. There's nothing those cats... One of those cats is such a devil that he will crawl in the bed to get my attention and pee on me. I've gotten up at 3 o'clock in the morning, had to take everything off the bed and redo it all. And guess what? I didn't love that little devil any less after he urinated on me than before. Not one bit less. And I am absolutely sure that the God of my understanding feels that way about me. I'm peeing, I'm pooping, I'm standing up the carpet. I'm marking my territory all over the place. I'm smelly, I'm shedding, and God loves me anyway. I'm the problem, and God loves me anyway. And the way that I access God is through you, through fellowship. I think that's my religion. That's all I have to say about that.
Thanks, Amy. All right, I'll go ahead with the final reading for the evening. It'll be... Section 5 and that small Section 6. Section 5, page 87. As we go through the day, we pause when agitated or doubtful and ask for the right thought or action. We constantly remind ourselves we are no longer running the show, humbly saying to ourselves many times each day, "Thy will be done." We are then in much less danger of excitement, fear, anger, worry, self-pity, or foolish decision. We become much more efficient. We do not tire so easily, for we are not burning up energy foolishly as we did when we were trying to arrange life to suit ourselves. It works. It really does. And from page 88, we alcoholics are undisciplined, so we let God discipline us in the simple way we have just outlined. But this is not all. There's action and more action. Faith without works is dead. The next chapter is devoted entirely to step 12. All right. Candida?
Yeah, I love that reading. I kind of lost my train of thought. Sorry. You know, I just think, you know, before I got here, you know, the person that I was and the way my life, you know, was and, you know, what it's become and, you know, just being able to show up to work every day and to do a good job and to get along with people and to do it sober, you know, to show up to events and actually be present, you know, like I was, you know, something that makes my heart like hurt so bad is like seeing people drunk at a funeral. That's me. You know, you know, I had a sponsee that said she was drunk as she was getting married. You know, that's me. And, you know, today, not only was that obsession completely lifted, and it was, I mean, for me, alcohol was an obsession. Like I planned my life by it. Like I chose my friends, the people that could drink like me, that could keep up with me. Like if I knew you were just a one beer drinker, I didn't want to hang out with you that night. You know, I went to parties where there was going to be the most alcohol. And, you know, coming to AA, that obsession was lifted, you know. And, you know, today I live like a productive life. You know, like I have a sponsor that says, you know, my family, a lot of them are still very active in the disease. And, you know, not a lot of them have gone and reached out for help. But he's like, you know, you have relationships with them. They don't, it doesn't have to be a silk purse. It's a relationship. You know, and today I can say I have relationships with every single member of my family. Not perfect, but it's there. You know, I feel that I'm useful, like in my work, in my life, you know, and the greatest journey of this whole thing is just having that relationship with my higher power that's going to unfold and blossom and take weird turns and be like, feel like darkness and feel like light. And it's like the greatest gift that I've been given from this program. And, you know, I just love, you know, I love this step, step 12, you know, I mean, step 11. And I like where it says, you know, like faith without works is dead, you know, willingness without action is fantasy. You know, they say the how of the program is honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. When I got here, I did not have honesty. I did not have open-mindedness, but thank God I had willingness. You know, I took all the actions, you know, I did every suggestion, you know, I did whatever service I could do. And, you know, I don't know if I were to get drunk today and come back, I don't know if I'd have that same willingness again. So I don't want to, you know, they say it's easier to stay sober than it is to get sober. So I'll just stay here and keep on growing. Thank you.
Thanks, Candida. Amy?
I stay pretty close to a state of agitation. I mean, I would say that I'm frequently agitated. You know, I have an excitable nature. And when I'm agitated, I know that it's time for me to pause. I know that I'm in my will. I know that uncomfortability is a sign that I'm forcing my will, that I'm trying to get my way, that I'm trying to make an outcome, of course, that is going to suit me perfectly. Might not suit the rest of you, but it's going to do me some good. And I can't live that way anymore. The static in my head, the noise in my head, you know, I tell you that I'm paying attention to you, but there are like 5 flow charts and 2 spreadsheets and a master plan and colors and smells and buzzing bees. And I can hear a noise in the background and can't anybody else hear it? And that's what's going on inside my head. Without step 11, I have no hope of putting one foot in front of the other and living this simple spiritual way of life. There's no hope because my default is the greater glorification of Amy. And I go about it in all the wrong ways. And I don't end up with that as a result anyway. But I think that that's what I'm doing. I need to be disciplined. And so having these practices be a part of my day. Step 10, continue, continue, continue. Step 11, improve, improve, improve. And then step 12, practice, practice, practice. It's this 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. And there was a time in my sobriety when I just thought, yeah, you know, I mean, things just kind of taper off a little bit after step 9. And yeah, that's not the case. The path has gotten a lot more narrow for me. And I can't tolerate a whole bunch of shenanigans in my head anymore. It used to feel kind of glamorous to me that my head was on the verge of going up in flames all the time. And yeah, I don't think that's so glamorous anymore. I think that that's the verge of disaster and catastrophe. And I actually care about other people's hearts today. I, in fact, care more about your hearts than I do about my own. And just like my cats who are unsavory, certainly, there's nothing I wouldn't do for them. And there's nothing I wouldn't do for any of you. On my worst day with the person that I dislike the least in the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous, I would do anything at all to help you find God and stay sober. Anything at all. That would be more important to me than anything else. And that's because of step 11. I clear the channel out in step 10. I get the channel filled back up in step 11. And in step 12, I let the channel just seep out into the stream of life. It's not me that's seeping out. Lord, less of me, more of God is always the optimal climate inside my head. I don't know how to live without God's power in a way where I am part of the brotherhood of man. But I also don't know in my head how I could tolerate not living in the brotherhood of man, waking up every day and thinking that, you know, the world is a disappointing place and you all are either getting in the way of what I think I need to have to be okay, or you all are going to try to steal from me what I think I need to have in order to be okay. So it's intolerable for me to live in that world, but it's impossible for me not to have my head be in that world without God, without God. I do not want to inhabit the world of my head where things are dark and shadowy. And I mean, how clear can I see when I'm in the dark? When I'm standing out in the sunlight of the Spirit, things look clear. The climate is always good. There's always a gentle breeze. There's always a friendly hand outstretched in welcome. I used to live my life wanting to be a ticker tape parade for Amy. And today, I want to be a ticker tape parade for God. That's what I want to be. I wouldn't say I'm making great gains in that direction, but I'm waking up one day at a time and I'm willing to pick it up again and again and again, shoulder to shoulder with the rest of you. That's all I've got.
Thank you, Amy. Thank you both for your shares. Great sharing, both of you. That was the last reading of the night, so we will move on to final announcements. Again, I'll mention the seventh tradition, which states every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. And until we go back in person next month, I believe it's July 26th, our only expense is Zoom. So any money donated goes through or passes through to district and intergroup and the VAC and probably GSO, our common welfare, a word about safety. Our group endeavors to provide a safe meeting place for all attendees and encourages each person here to contribute to fostering a secure and welcome environment in which our meetings can take place. Announcements. Are there any AA-related announcements?
I'm an alcoholic named David.
Go for it, David.
If there's not a lot of people on the meeting, but if you are a member of a home group in District 14, which is Norfolk, Virginia, next week, a week from tomorrow, will be the first Tuesday of the month when District 14 meets, and we will be meeting in person at the Easy Does It Club. Please let your home groups know. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you, David. Anybody else? Any other announcement? Tough crowd. Simple Actions is a home group. Home group members, please raise your hand. If you are interested in joining our home group or in need of a sponsor, please hang out after the meeting to connect with any of the folks with their hands raised. Sponsorship in AA is yours for the asking. We urge you, do not delay. If you have questions or would like additional information about sponsorship, someone will be available in the Zoom room when we close the meeting. Please stick around to talk with us or feel free to email info@simpleactions.com with questions. And I will ask Leanne, will you read the last two paragraphs on page 164?
Sure.
Okay, let me put that up for you.
My name's Leanne. I'm an alcoholic. A vision for you. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Leah.
Thanks, Candida. Thank you, everybody. David, the answer to your question is yes, if you want to ask.
All right.
Thanks we haven't prayed yet.
Oh, sorry. Oh, my gosh. I'm sorry. I'm running the show.
I started to jump in. I balked God.
Thanks to all who participated this evening. I'll now give everybody the ability to unmute, except Amy, and so they can participate in the Lord's Prayer and give everybody a chance to say thank you to our speakers. And let's see, my windows keep shifting around. Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done
on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread.
And forgive us our trespasses
as we forgive those who trespass against us.
And lead us not into temptation,
but deliver us from evil.
The
kingdom,
power,
and the glory.
Amen. Thank you, Candida.
Thank you, Amy.
I love you, Amy.
I love you, Candida. Thank you both so much.
Thank you, Candida. Thanks, Amy.
Thanks so much.
Oh my God, that was amazing.
Thank you, ladies. That was incredible.
Thanks, y'all.
Ladies. Thank you, Mike.
Good to see you, Candida.